You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friend, to episode number 201 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave is here. Good evening.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. We should make you better than okay. We'll get some brutalness going in you.
Okay. I'm here for it.
Okay. Welcome back to the show. We have Justin the Metal Detector.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good. It's been a while since I've been on the show. Like a lot has changed in my life.
we can talk about that, but we have to talk about it. Have you detected any metal recently?
Of course. Every week.
We're going to get into that because I want to talk about some of the new metal you've been detecting.
Yeah, of course.
I've been sort of slacking in that ever since my trip and then my new job and then just working a lot. I haven't really spent enough time getting into new releases. So
I get anxiety attacks every Saturday if I realize I've forgotten to copy the list from Friday. So
you did it. Okay. So this past Saturday, we saw each other for the first time since the pandemic. We were all in a room together since the pandemic started. And at one point, Justin's like, oh, shit. Everybody's sort of like, what? He's like, I forgot to do the new release list. And your wife, because she was just like, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, every Friday I make a list of all the new stuff that's come out that sounds interesting to me and then add it to my Spotify list and, you know, listen to it while I work out and everything. But every once in a while I get so wrapped up in what's going on that I just forget. And then trying to figure out what I've missed is always a challenge, since there's really only one place that has a comprehensive list.
Wow. Who do you use for that?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the one place with the
comprehensive list? Metal Archives, Encyclopedia Metallum. They have a list of all of
it. The only problem with them is once the day's passed, can you access it anymore after that?
No, and that's the issue. Is like, if you don't remember to write it down on Friday, then when Saturday comes around, you can't see Friday's numbers anymore, so...
There's
That's what I was doing last year and a little bit the year before, was every Friday I'd go there, but there's so goddamn much and it's not always accurate. Mm-hmm. And I'm not actually checking out that much stuff. So I'll still consult it, but what I had been doing was basically copying and pasting the whole thing into a spreadsheet, was what I had been doing.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
That's probably what I should be doing, but I'm lazy and I only usually remember to do it on Fridays. I have an alarm set to tell myself to do it. And I check there and then I check metalinjection.net and like a couple of the places. But Metal Archives, even though they are sometimes flawed in what they post, it's still the most comprehensive list. And
I'll agree that it's most comprehensive in terms of you will see things on there that you won't see anywhere else.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes those are the best things.
So weekly, how many releases do you estimate you've actually listened to?
Probably 40 to 60 get dropped every week that I add to the playlist.
And you listen to every single one of those?
I listen to at least part of every single one of those albums. Sometimes if I give it three or four songs and it just is trash, I skip it. I try to be fair.
Percentage wise, how many out of the 50 to 60 per week, how many are actually good?
Good enough to make my best of list or good?
Yeah.
Well, okay, good enough to make my best of list.
Okay, I guess there's two different definitions there, but...
Okay, well, I have two lists. I have a list called Worth Listening To Later, and I put anything that has any merit whatsoever into that. And then at the end of the year, I spend about a month just playing shuffle on that list. And if anything comes up that I'm like, wow, how did I miss this? Then I give a lot more time to it to figure out if it deserves to be in the this is my best of list. So my best of list, though, however, 2021 has been kind of a surprising year because there's been a lot of great releases, not just good, but great. And I feel like every week, at least two albums are getting added to that list. I'd probably say an average of two, sometimes three, sometimes four even, which is just mind blowing. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming out this year.
And if you're interested in some of that, we do have a Metal Geeks MSR Cast playlist that we're trying to keep up with. You can search for us on the social medias, but we'll post it again in the show notes and all that right here. But we've been going in and adding songs that we like from these albums.
I still need to devote some time to that.
I do too. Spotify is not my primary music service, so I forget to contribute. I have a just Spotify account. It's just not what I use most of the time. So
you're still using Apple or with a YouTube Google? Music
now? Yeah, it's YouTube Google. Music now. Yeah, that's what I'm using. I'm basically Google already owns my whole life anyway. I'm an Android user. I use a bunch of their services already, and so using their music service, it already integrates with a bunch of other stuff I'm already doing, and I get YouTube without ads as a result, so that's cool.
That's nice.
That's Steve's life theory. He's like, this is already pretty brutal. I guess I'll just take more.
Just take my money.
I actually, why I switched from Spotify in the first place was at the time Google had better family plans. And because we were starting to have trouble because we had too many people who were trying to use the same Spotify account. It was like a paid account. Mm-hmm. At the time Google had better family plans, but Spotify is comparable now. So yeah.
You do pay for Spotify, everybody, Justin?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I pay for the Duo plan or whatever.
I do like a family account and with some of my family too. So
yeah, Erica likes completely different music from me. Yeah. So we have to have our own individual, but we pay like $11.99 for two accounts. So it's not bad.
No, it's worth it.
I think it's only like a couple bucks more for like, what is it, like 4 to 6 people at this point?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. But Donovan's not old enough to have that yet, so yeah. We get by with just the two of us.
All right, so let's we're jumping right into the metal first. We have some other topics to discuss, and Justin said he had a game for us to play later, which will be exciting.
You're gonna put that on me?
Yeah, I'm putting it on you, dude. And so let's talk about some of the current releases that we should be listening to.
Well, it's been a long time since I've been on the show, I feel like. At least 3 weeks or a month or something. There's been a lot of stuff that's come out. I don't know if you've talked about it yet, Carrie, but I know I shared it and I've been promoting it a lot in the Metal Geeks group. There's this band called Sialun Vilholinen.
No.
Okay.
Are they Finnish or?
They are Finnish. It's spelled Sialun Vilholinen.
Okay.
It's really up-tempo melodic black metal. One of my favorite albums of the year by far. The album art looks like it was done by some angry eighth grader. Okay. It's not perfect. I don't think they're at like a super professional level yet, you know, with some of the stuff, but the music itself is just incredible. It's definitely one of the most fun albums I've heard this year. I can't understand a word of what they're saying, but I love it. Another really good one is Skylord. They're probably going to make my top 10 list. I believe they're a Polish black metal band. Some of the melodies in there are just so captivating and incredible. And they have a lot of like post elements as well, which, you know, I've become a big fan of. Let's see.
You like that post?
I do. I really do. Masson is one that I've been promoting.
That album was cool.
It is very hard to shrink this album down to an explanation because it kind of includes every element of every type of metal at some point or another in the album. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like a mess.
It's not a mess at all. It's actually a very well-structured album with a lot of depth to it.
What were they called again?
It's called Masson.
Masson. Masson, right?
Yeah. And the album's called Contra Aesthetic. These guys are German. Actually, they've been around for years. I think it's like 16 years or something they've been around for. But this is their first album released under the name of Masson. Before this, they were like Masson something, and it interpreted the Mass Graves. And it originally was one guy's solo project, and then he became a two-man outfit with the female vocalist from this album. And then eventually they kept growing and ended up with six people in a full band. and rebranded themselves as Masson and released this masterpiece. This is one of my favorite albums of the year for sure. I don't know exactly where it's going to land, but it's in my top three at the moment. It's fantastic.
Female vocals or?
It's male vocals, but they have pretty female vocals interspersed throughout. And there is one song that's primarily the female vocalist.
Oh, nice.
It's very, very good.
I know you're talking about it. I just keep on forgetting to check it out.
The Wormlight album is really good. Gojira's new album is pretty solid.
I wouldn't expect you to say that.
Well, I liked the last one. I liked Magma a whole lot.
I liked Magma a lot too, but that's really about all I can say that I've heard from Gojira that I've really
I'm in the exact same boat. The previous stuff I was not a fan of at all. Magma changed my opinion on them a lot because they worked on their sound and it's much more synchronized than it used to be. This is more of the same. If you liked Magma, you'll like this album. It almost feels like a continuation rather than something new. So I like it. I don't know if it'll make my top 10 or not, but it is very good. There's an EP that came out from a band called The Circle, which I shared this one with Carrie.
Yep.
It's how would you describe it? I don't even know how I would describe this thing because it's so different.
I only listened to the one time that you sent it to me. It's very they're definitely all over the place.
There's a lot of elements from a lot of different things, but I think at their core, they're kind of a proggy doom band.
And you say it, the proggy doom, it's a little bit different than usually what I think of. I know you look at the Circle and it's not the Sammy Hagar band. So,
yeah. But it's a short listen because it's only four tracks and it's designed to be one complete listen. I think it's only like 40 minutes for the whole thing. It's definitely worth checking out. I think if they release a full album, it would make my best of list. Another one is Yoth Iria. Christian on the Metal Geeks page has been raving about them all year.
Oh yeah, yes.
I've listened to them before, I'm sure.
Yeah, when the EP came out last year, I liked it, but I didn't love it. There's still some things in this album that lose my focus, if that makes sense. Like I'm going along and enjoying it and reeling into it. And then something happens and I'm just kind of like, eh, but overall, I think it's a very strong album. I don't think it'll make my top 10, but it's great. The new Serenity and Murder is really good.
Yes. I really like that. We played that on MSRcast last week. They're a Japanese band, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're sort of symphonic, mellow death, but they do a little bit of grind stuff in their music. They do a little bit of everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty innovative. I liked their last album a lot. And then I knew this one had come out. I think it was scheduled for release back in February, but it never got added to Spotify until last week. So I didn't actually get around to hearing it until last week when Sean posted something about it. But it's very, very good. I've also heard people... I sort of ran out of stuff to listen to, if you can believe that. So I started looking at people's best of lists so far for 2021. And there's a couple bands that I kept seeing come up over and over again. One of them was called Moana.
Like the movie?
With an extra A. It's Moanaa.
They have to put the extra A in there. I'll get sued by Disney.
It's very, very much like classical music. With black metal influences and like black metal singing and stuff kind of interspersed, but it's not continuous. It feels a lot more like you're listening to Beethoven than it does you're listening to, you know, Immortal or something. But it's kind of a weird hybrid. It's pretty good though.
Embers of the EP. I'm gonna have to check that out. The two, if there's any two genres of music that are close together, it's heavy metal and classical music.
Yeah, I agree.
I've always felt that way.
It's a very good blend in this album too. I think you'll dig it. And then one we talked about earlier this week was called Mental Cruelty. That was another one that I saw pop up on a lot of lists.
I don't think I dug it as much as you did.
It's one of those things. Like I'm not the biggest fan of just pure brutal death metal. Like it's fun, you know. It's something you can listen to every once in a while when it comes up in your shuffle. But it's not something I want to listen to all the time, unless they're doing something interesting. And this band is brutal death metal that has added a lot of symphonic elements, which makes it interesting.
We talked about it earlier. My biggest complaint about it, it sounds overproduced, especially the drums. I mean, they're super fucking fast, but it just, it has that whole overproduced click sound to it. And just, I don't know, that sort of drove me out of it a little bit, you know?
I'm not nearly as critical of drums, but I'm not a drummer, so yeah. I think that has something to do with it.
I mean, there's a lot of like death metal bands that are, what's the term, the new style of death metal, like the mellow, not the mellow death, but I can't think of it now.
I'm not
like
sure.
All the mall death like metal bands.
I mean, it's deathcore. Brutal. I don't really know if this falls into deathcore. I mean, Kerry kept saying that.
It doesn't have the gent stuff, like the Jung, that one style, but it definitely has elements from that. And sort of, I'll give it another shot. I mean, always, but.
Okay, this is not an album for everybody, but if you liked Planetary Extermination last year, or you liked, what was the one that I talked about before, Kerry? Cattle Decapitation's album from a couple of years ago. It's in a similar vein to those. And I mean, yeah, those were considered by, you know, the largest percentage of metal fans in the world to be the albums of the year. So if you enjoy that type of music, you will love this album. I think it's really good for what it is. I don't think it's something that I would listen to regularly. I don't think it's something that's going to probably make my top 10.
Did it have pig vocals in it? I can't remember.
Yeah, it does in places.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, that's right.
But it is very good if you like that type of music. And then the last band is one that I discovered that came out this week. It's called Noctul. And the album is called Wretched Abyss. It's post-black metal at its best. There's been so many great post-black albums this year, and this is one of them.
N-O-C, how do you spell it?
N-O-C-T-U-R-N-E. No, I'm sorry, I spelled that wrong. Noctul. N-O-C-T-U-L-E.
Gotcha. Wretched Abyss. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, it's you're talking about overproduction. This one's actually a little underproduced. It feels like classic black metal, but it has that post black metal sound to it. Just that recurring riff sort of thing in the background all the time.
I think I may have listened to some of this one.
I really dig it.
The art looks familiar. I wonder if it showed up on one of my like auto playlists.
Oh, I can't recommend this one highly enough. Since I found it 2 days ago, I've listened to it 5 times.
Oh, wow.
I keep going back to it. I mean, there was between this and Noctambulist and Harakiri for the Sky, there's been so many great post-black albums that came out this year.
And all of them, for the Sky one keeps popping up on my like auto playlists as well.
You dig it?
Still trying to decide on them. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of times I'm really jamming on the music, the instrumentation itself. I don't love the vocals all the time.
Dave, we're on the same page here. That's the same thing I feel about it. I love their music, but I don't like the guy's vocals.
That's fair. I mean, there's plenty of vocalists that I'm not a huge fan of. Everybody likes their own stuff, but the kind of screaming punk type vocals in metal, it's becoming more of a thing you see. And I actually really dig it.
And it's not that the stylistic choice in and of itself bothers me. It's just sometimes I think that dude's individual delivery doesn't always land for me, I think is maybe what it is. It's weird because it's like I said, I don't really like dislike it. But it's the thing that more than anything else takes me out of the music, I think, is the sure. So,
but what about you, Dave? Have you been checking anything out recently?
Let's try to think of anything particularly interesting I've been listening to recently. I've been listening to a bunch of like older stuff recently. That new Masson album I've listened to a couple of times. I like it. I've listened to the new The Crown a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have new The Crown material.
Weird to say The Crown. New The Crown. Like, I just want to say Crown, but it's not right.
Not right. It's not stellar, but
yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything in particular that's really jumped out at me recently.
I've been listening to the new Vreed album a lot. Wild Northwest. If you like Enslaved, like progressive music that they do, I really enjoy this new Vreed album. There's a song on there that's totally like anything they've ever done before. It's just really catchy. We played that on the last MSR cast. This band Vola, actually Stefan Nordstrom from Soliloquium, he's like, hey, have you heard this band? And I heard like one track, but it's very, very catchy progressive rock metal. Even though one of the songs actually has like a rapper in it, which it actually sort of works. It's like a guest spot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. The new Amorphous live album is pretty cool. I wish it was like a actual physical release. Let's see. I've been listening to a couple of new tracks. So the band Frozen Soul, have you heard them yet?
Yeah, they're based out of Texas, right?
Yeah, they're from Dallas, I believe.
Yeah, I listened to that album. It has potential, but the production on it...
it's old school production. It's
totally... Yeah, I think I've kind of outgrown that. It just doesn't really gel with me the way it did when I was a kid, so...
They're going to be coming to here with Goat Horde Necrofire.
Yeah, I want to go to that show.
I think I want to go. I'm going to go to that show. It's been a while. Sean, the Metal Pigeon, our co-host on MSR Cast, got me into this band called Ildrauni. Ildaruni. Very hard to say. What else have I been digging into? Here's Mastin's on my list right here. Go with me here. The Mickey Dolan Sings Michael Nesmith album has been getting a lot of rotations here, which is pretty cool. The Terra Odiva, they've only put out a couple of singles so far. That's pretty epic. It's really progressive black metal, but it actually features Steve DiGiorgio on bass. I'm sorry, it's pretty cool.
What's the name of that one?
It's called Terra Odiva. Odivum.
Did you just mention Valtari? Odiv-
Who?
Did you say Ildari? Valtari?
No, not Valtari.
Okay.
Ildarui. Nope, that's not even right now. That's what happens when you have band names that are so hard to remember.
Yeah, it's going to be weird this year because so many of the bands that I'm going to end up on my list are all foreign, non-English speaking bands, and it definitely presents a challenge in pronouncing their names. Like, I went over Sielun Viholin and like practicing it in the mirror 30 times before I could say it correctly.
Right. There was one other I wanted to discuss. I can't remember. There's a new Bloodbound album that came out. There was a new Sonic Haven album, which is very traditional power metal. Pretty cool stuff. The vocalist does backgrounds in Aventasia. I saw him live a couple years ago. Something I do want to talk about shows coming back. Dave, what's your opinion on the Hell Hero 4?
Like it usually is, I really want to go, and I already know that weekend is going to be conflicted for me.
April 22nd, yeah, 23rd.
It's always in the middle of Sherwood Forest Fair.
I know a lot of people coming down for this show, dude.
The lineup is great.
So if you guys, so check this out, April 22nd and 23rd here in Houston at the White Oak Music Hall. I'm not going to go through every single band, but maybe we should. Warcloud, who I checked out, they were really good. Lady Beast, Saber, Bloodstar, Legendary, not Legendary, but Legendary. Solicitor, Nator, Night Cobra, which is one of the guys, Christian, he puts on the show. He's also a Necrofire.
Yeah.
Smolder, Traveler, Screamer, Savage Master, Bewitcher. That's really cool. Summerland.
Yeah, I want to see Bewitcher. That sounds
fun. Yeah, I want to see Haunt, High Spirit, Night Demon, Salau Fei, which I'm excited to see them. Enforcer, Whiplash, Satan, Eternal Champion, and then we get to the headliners. We got Cirrus Ungol, Riot 5, which is the new touring version of Riot, Dark Angel, and Candlemass.
So I'll let you know.
Yes.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Their name comes from Lord of the Rings.
I know that. Cirrus Ungol?
In Elvish, that C is a hard C.
Oh, am I saying it incorrectly?
Cirrus Ungol.
Cirrus Ungol. Okay.
That's right.
Thank you for the lesson. I appreciate that.
I knew where you were going with that.
They've been around for, I think their first album was like on Metal Blade in like 84 or something like that.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
But yeah, Dark Angel, man, it's going to be a killer. I've never seen them live. I know people coming specifically into town just to see them live.
If there was more supporting bands that I was excited about, I would probably try to go. Like Candlemass would be badass. Dark Angel's pretty cool. Pretty much the only other band you name that I have any interest in seeing at all is Smolder. I don't think it's the show for me.
But that's why you go hang out and have fun, dude. I mean, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. We'll see where the pandemic's at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still swearing off concerts and shows until 2022.
Well, this is in 2022, so.
I know. I'm reevaluating when 2022 comes around.
All right. That's fair enough. Fair enough, man. I'm excited to see Gene Hoagland again, man. It's going to be cool. Dark Angel?
With Dark Angel? Okay. Yeah.
Original member. So, what have you guys been watching? I actually went to a physical, actual movie theater over the weekend.
Crazy.
Wow.
I know. It was okay. We were comfortable. It's weird. You don't have to wear a mask anymore either. But
I sent. What's that? If you're fully vaccinated or a liar, you can go to AMC without a mask on.
That's true. If you're a liar, we went and saw A Quiet Place Part 2.
How was it?
It was really good. I think he's a phenomenal director. That could have gone. I mean, he's one of the main characters, and spoiler alert, he gets killed off in the first movie. The beginning part of the movie, it's this really long one shot thing about it leads up to right what happens when the aliens come. It's really phenomenal. And then it breaks into.
I can see the trailer kind of illustrates some of that.
Yep.
I could kind of tell they were doing like that one shot thing. Just from that,
it's really I'm a sucker for like really long one shots. I watched John Krasinski did like this with a GQ or something today on YouTube. He was breaking down the shots and everything. It was really cool. I think he's a great director. He did a great job, and just the sound design, and then there's a couple of like stupid jump scares and that type of stuff they throw in there, like, oh my God, the birds are attacking, or the birds fly by, and it's like, oh, everybody gets scared. But okay. just that's the dumb. Audio. What's up?
I said, oh, that's dumb.
Yeah. But Vanity Fair, that's what it was on Vanity Fair. But just the audio design, because they really go into the older daughter, who is almost deaf. She can hear a little bit, but when they go into her mind or like her viewpoint, you could actually hear what it sounds like to be her. I thought that was really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. What else have I seen recently?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite sequences in the first one, is when the deaf daughter is in the corn, yep, and the monster is there and it's blind and can't see her, and she's deaf and can't hear it.
Yeah.
That moment where the two of them are right next to each other and neither one of them knows it. That was one of the best, me, the best sequences in that one.
Yeah, that was cool.
I finished For All Mankind. I think we're going to have to wait to talk more about that when George gets back. But by the way, George isn't here tonight, if you didn't notice.
What?
He's working or something. Some bullshit.
Balls.
Some excuse. Balls. But For All Mankind, oh my God, it's one of the best TV shows out there right now. It hooked me in. I've always had a little bit of fascination with space and like NASA and, you know, that travel and stuff like that. But I'm actually a fan of it now. I'm like doing research on other things. I'm like, this is really cool. So if you don't know the basic history or basic premise behind it, it's an alternate history version of the space race, basically, that the Russians landed on the moon first. They're the first ones in the space. They were the first ones to have a female astronaut on the moon, a lot of this kind of stuff. And it comes to a major tipping point in the second season, because the first season, it's like from like late 60s to 70s. The second season is a 10-year jump in time. And the third season is going to be another 10-year jump in time. So it's going to be cool. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a while, though. I mean, if either of you guys want my access for it and you want to watch it, just let me know. I'll take care of you.
All right, cool.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really, really good. That Mythic Quest on Apple TV is really good.
I'm doing that show. I need to take you up on your offer because I'm going to check that one out.
Second season is much funnier than the first season, for sure. They sort of found their footing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And not relying just on insider video game jokes.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I watched recently was the Borat. I don't really remember what it's called, but it's on, Amazon Prime. So the scene from the movie that came out last year where he's living with the two Trump supporters in that house during the pandemic, they made it like a 45-minute little reality show out of it. It's really funny.
Yeah, that was the best part of the movie, in my opinion. I wish
they made a whole season of the show. I would watch it.
I could definitely see more being to that, like expanded version of that where he's just, you know, doing more and more ridiculous things, and those guys are just completely oblivious.
There is a shot of him, like a whole segment. He's like, "Oh, do you mind if I work out?" And his workout outfit is like this giant dildo on his. So he's like all working out, doing all these like calisthenics and yoga moves, like right in front of him. And they don't even say a word. They're just like ignoring it. It's pretty damn funny.
I can imagine. I'll have to check that out. I liked the movie a lot. So,
and there's a lot of little, like 3 or 4 minute little segments after. We haven't watched them all, but like sort of like making of type of things, and like little fake news clips they've made based on what happened in the movie. It's fun.
Cool.
Yeah. And also the last thing we started getting back into anything that Gordon Ramsay. So Hell's Kitchen came back on this week. We're watching MasterChef and his show on, was it on, I can't think of it, Uncharted or something like that, where he goes around to different places and learns all about the culture and then cooks something at the end.
And then yells at them and tells them.
He actually doesn't yell in that series. They're yelling at him.
What is the point?
I don't know. Apparently he's not that much of an asshole. He just does it on that show. I know. That's like disappointing, right?
Like, I've seen the shows that he does with, like, the kids, and he's, like, a completely different person.
Yep.
With the kids.
Yeah. So what about you, Justin? What have you been into?
I've been watching a lot of different stuff, a lot of older movies. I watched Very Bad Things yesterday.
I remember that.
Gave me horrible anxiety, just like it did the first time I watched it a long time ago.
Is that the sort of horror comedy?
It's the one where it's got John Favreau and
like
a bunch of other people. They go on a bachelor party. Seth Green's not in it. No, it's John Favreau. And then, crap, who else is in there? You can make me look it up.
Hold on.
If it'll load. Yeah, okay, so it's got John Favreau, Cameron Diaz, Daniel Stern, Jeremy Piven, Christian Slater, a few other people. It's like a lot of big names. But they go on a bachelor party weekend to Vegas, and they hire a stripper, and she's dancing for him, and then Jeremy Piven takes her into the bathroom to fuck her and, like, accidentally murders her. there's a towel hook hanging on the back of the door.
I hate when that happens.
He's like throwing her around the room, having a good time, and then he, you know, slams her into the door and her head goes into the towel hook and it goes into her brain. And then he finishes and then he realizes she's dead. And he's like, oh, fuck, what did I do? And so he goes out there and he tells all his friends and they're trying to figure out what to do, whether they should call the cops or try to hide the body or whatever. And then security shows up and spoiler alert, they decide to murder the security guard. So he looks around the room. At first, they're trying to dissuade him from going to the bathroom, but eventually he does. He sees what happens. They stab him. He falls in the bathtub and dies. So now they have two bodies to dispose of, which they end up driving out into the middle of the desert and burying them both. Driving back to town, trying to pretend like nothing happened. But Daniel Stern's character is flipping out. He can't handle knowing the fact that they murdered some people. So he loses it. He starts a fight with Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven gets mad and like drives over him and kills him. And then the whole family is like, what the fuck? And then Christian Slater's like, I'll handle this. And Christian Slater just goes on a murder spree and kills anybody and everybody that was involved in the thing. He murders Jeremy Piven's wife. Like, he shoots Jeremy Piven in the head. Like, he's fucking losing it. And at the end of the movie, at the end of the movie, Jon Favreau is just like, this is what happened. You know, he tells his wife, you know, I'm sorry, we were acting so weird. We murdered some people. All this stuff happened.
Sorry.
And she's like, what the fuck? And then they get in a car accident. She's like, I don't care. I want to marry you anyways. All I care about is being married. You know, she's been this overbearing fiance this whole time. So they get married. And then right afterwards, they're in this horrendous car accident where he loses his legs. And like the one other guy who's left gets like permanently crippled and has to drive around like Stephen Hawking. He has like one of the little things in his mouth to communicate. And then they inherited Daniel Stern's two kids, one of whom has cerebral palsy and the other one wears a helmet. So she's like this lone woman who has to take care of all these amputees and deformed children. And like, it's just crazy. She's like, not the life she signed up for.
That's what I love about your description. When you talk about movies, dude, you remember so much shit. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw the movie. I forgot what happened.
Well, I mean, it's hard to forget some of these details. Like, the first half of the movie gives me horrible anxiety, and then the comedy starts when Christian Slater just starts killing people, and then it becomes a lot more enjoyable to watch, even though fucked up.
I always think it's funny when Christian Slater is murdering people. I agree.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that. So I watched that, and then I've been watching MODOK on Hulu. Okay.
Here's where we might disagree.
I'm not done with it yet. I'm five episodes in.
Uh-huh.
And
I'm not done with it yet either.
The parts that are good are pretty good, but they are few and far between. There's a lot of like fluff you have to get through, and it's not just introducing the character or setting the stage or introducing the supporting characters or anything like that. I mean, that stuff happens. It's just not that interesting. They do a really bad job. I mean, despite Patton Oswalt being awesome and despite all the other voice actors who do a fantastic job, they just do a really bad job of drawing you in and making you care about the characters, making you care about anything. Until the episode where he meets like the misfit villains and befriends them.
That's a great episode.
That's the only time
the heist episode.
Really? Yeah. That's when it becomes really good. But that's like three episodes in or something.
Yeah. I think like four.
You know, basically everything that happens aside from that is just to set up this subplot where like a younger version of him comes to the future and is like trying to take over his life.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I can see your point. There is a little bit of subtleness to what they're doing on the show. It's not like in your face hilarious, but there are really funny moments to it. I think everybody does a really great job. Ben Schwartz is the whole bar mitzvah thing. That there's some funny shit in the show. The wife is played by,
I mean, Ben Schwartz is the best character in the whole thing. Ben Schwartz is great. His great. Son is the most interesting thing happening in almost every episode.
Yeah, agreed. It's just a really funny show.
Really funny. I would say it's okay and it has potential. I would not say it's very funny.
All right. But you just described a whole murder movie. You thought it was hilarious, so that's all I'm gonna say there.
All right. Well, moving on from MODOK, I did watch something that I feel like is a truly profound experience, and that is Bo Burnham's new comedy special called Inside.
You mentioned this earlier.
This is on Netflix. It is arguably the best comedy special I've ever seen in my life. I was enthralled from beginning to end. He captivated me in ways that I didn't think any stand-up comedian could possibly captivate me. The jokes are funny. They're really good all throughout. But it's not like any kind of standard special. He lived in this small apartment by himself throughout the pandemic. And during that entire time, he worked on this project and he created all these strange music videos. He created all these like documentary type expose things that just with him, it's just this one guy living in this apartment, slowly descending into madness from no human communication. He didn't talk to anybody in person except for his mom over FaceTime. And like he even wrote a song about how terrible his mom was at FaceTiming. Like there's some truly, truly funny stuff. And all of it's relatable because we all went through something similar during the pandemic. But
or still going through it.
It is, in my opinion, one of the most accurate depictions of what it's like living with anxiety and depression that I've ever seen. And, you know, I don't want to say that it's, you know, super depressing to watch or anything, because it's most of that stuff doesn't really come to the surface until the end of the movie. It's there throughout, you know, but it's not the whole of it. There's a lot of jokes. There's a lot of levity. There's a lot of really, really funny stuff. It's just that he's himself and he's put himself raw on display for the world in a way that very few comedians have ever done. And I was just blown away by it. The man is a complete and total genius. And I've watched his other specials before and I always thought they were good. And I always thought he was incredibly talented, but I did not realize the extent of his intelligence and his genius until I saw this thing. And I was just completely and utterly blown away by it. And I recommend it as a must see for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. Can't say enough good things about it. You'll love it. I think.
What about you, Brutal Dave? What have you been watching? What's been brutalizing you?
Not much. I guess we've been kind of very gradually working our way through Schitt's Creek, late to the party on that one.
What do you think of it?
I like it. It's odd.
Yeah.
It's like the pacing of it is strange, but I don't mind it.
I get you. But
I enjoy the characters, I guess.
It's just so weird how popular it got and how award-winning it became.
Yeah. Not sure what I think about that part of it, but I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it's just kind of something that we put on from time to time. We just started because they announced last week that a bunch of Adult Swim shows were going to get movie.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that up.
So we have started rewatching Metalocalypse from the beginning.
I need to do that. It's on HBO Max, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. So we've started watching through that because there was some of the later material I actually never saw.
Is Doomstar Requiem available in there? I didn't think you could find it anywhere.
I'm not sure.
That's the film they did, right?
Yeah, well, that's
a long episode.
Yeah, it's the rock opera that technically is season 4 because they had 3 seasons of the show. Season 4 was summed up into Doomstar Requiem, and then season 5 is supposed to be the coming movie. I'm incredibly excited about this. I thought we were never going to get to see the conclusion of the whole story. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're making it happen, I'm just over the moon about. It's also cool they're doing another Aqua Teen movie and bringing back Venture Brothers to close that out as well.
Yes. It's 3 of my favorite shows that are ever been on Adult Swim right there.
I mean,
they deserve it.
Aqua Teen's later years weren't the best, but the Aqua Teen movie was something truly special. So if they can recapture that lightning in a bottle, it's something. Yeah.
They're number 1 in the hood. G, come on. It's in the title. It's in the song lyrics. I mean, come on. They wouldn't lie about it.
They just need to bring Mastodon back to write some more cool shit for them.
Right. Have you guys been listening to more Stephen King at night?
Yeah, we actually last night we just started book 7, The Dark Tower, the final entry.
Only 7?
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know there were that many of them.
Yeah, there's 7 like full titles that are in the Dark Tower series.
And these are like full like 1,000 page books, aren't they, each one?
Yeah,
the earlier ones are much like they get bigger as they go along. The first few were small.
Like the Gunslinger is maybe 250 pages, maybe.
That sounds about right.
And then they get progressively longer. I'd guess that like by the time you get to Song of Susanna and the Dark Tower, we're talking in the 700 to 900 page range on those, is a guess. So,
and that's not even that big. I mean, you know, like Harry Potter, his stuff's way bigger than that.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're getting progressively longer. So we're almost done. So there's those seven main books, and then there are like some supplementary books that deal with it. There was Wind Through the Keyhole, which he wrote afterwards, but it takes place in between a couple of the other stories.
Every time we talk about this, it reminds me, we need to go back and finish watching The Stand. We started that, but we never finished it.
Which version? Probably don't have to.
No?
You probably
okay.
Listen to it instead.
Are you talking about the new one, or are you talking about the original one?
Yeah, the new one. I don't even remember where it's streaming at now. One of the Paramount?
It was on CBS. It might be on Paramount.
Might be Paramount, yeah.
I haven't seen the new one. I was actually very curious how it turned out.
We watched the first episode, and we enjoyed it for what it was, but we never continued on. We need to.
Early in the pandemic, and I'm talking like the end of February 2020, I was at Walmart, and I found the original Stand miniseries on Blu-ray, and I bought it. And then I made Erica watch it with me, and she's resented me for it ever since.
at least it wasn't the Langoliers.
I have that as well, but I did not make her watch it with me.
What's up, Dave?
I said I've watched that one.
Yeah.
That was one of the stories we listened to as well. The story is way better than the TV movie.
Yeah.
But I've always been curious if the more modern version of The Stand was better. I mean, it has to be better. I can't imagine it not being, but... I do want to see it at some point.
Very cool.
I think when we are done with The Dark Tower, we're going to be taking a break from the audiobooks, because we've basically been doing it basically every night for over a year now. And
I'm going to do a segue here that's going to help promote your wife's Twitch channel.
Oh, cool.
Check this out. So I've been playing Resident Evil Village, which is Resident Evil 8, and I watched your wife. If you don't know who, you guys are both amazing artists. Your whole family is amazing artists, truthfully. She has a Twitch channel called Battle Maiden Art. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
So, yeah. Check her out on Twitch. She does a lot of it just amazes me that you guys do what you do, because I can't even draw a damn stick figure. And I'm just watching her draw this. She was drawing Lady Demascrius, or Lady D. We'll just call her that, from Resident Evil 8.
Demetrius, I think.
Demetrius, I think.
Something. Whatever.
Nobody can agree.
Yeah.
That fat ass bitch.
Literally everyone that I talk to about her pronounces it differently. So
yes. So I just got to the part of the game where you fight her in her. I don't want to spoil anything. Let's say that you have a fight with her. And that's maybe, I guess I'm probably like 4 or 5 hours into the game. I don't know how long it is, but it's not my favorite Resident Evil game for sure.
You're using the fly swatter, right?
The fly swatter. Yep.
Yes.
I'm doing an Alan Grant all over. So just the section in the castle where she's chasing you around and you're trying to discover things and get past parts. And it felt very much like Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which I wasn't a big fan of that, where Nemesis is like chasing you like the whole game.
The last game in the series that I played.
Oh, really?
That one. Yeah.
It had that vibe to it. And I'm not really digging it. It looks beautiful. It looks great. I will complete it. But I think the next game that I'm going to play, I haven't bought it yet, is the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So it's all three Mass Effect games remastered and redone. So I haven't played the first one in a long time.
I've only played the first one, and I really liked it. And I've heard that like they don't get better from that point, is what I've heard.
It's more of the same.
I've heard they're very different. I've heard that the gameplay in the second one, they like it became a lot more combat oriented,
instead of like the RPG elements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, how true that is, but that's
I don't, what I don't know if I ever played two. I know I played part of three, but I don't remember two at all. Actually,
last week, Xbox sent me an email, give me a $5 credit for anything on Microsoft Store. Mm-hmm. And then today they sent me 3 months of Game Pass for $1. So I used the free nice. $5 they gave me to buy 3 months of Game Pass. So
you go.
I don't know what I'm going to play, but I got to find something to do.
My Game Pass is about to expire in August. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do yet, because I did the thing 2 years ago when I could subscribe for $1 and it lasted as long as you had your Xbox Gold paid up for. So I bought another year real quick and then did it. So I'm paid up until August. And after that, I'm gonna have to either pay monthly or figure out another way to buck the system or something. I don't know, but it's worth it. It really is.
I don't play games the way you guys do. I mean, I played Valhalla and I played Cyberpunk this past year, and that's more than I usually do. I usually get one game a year.
Download Rain on Your Parade. That's okay. The game I was talking about recently. It's your cardboard rain cloud, and it's a lot of fun.
I alluded to this in our opening statements, but I've got the next 3 weeks off of work.
Yeah. You do, don't you?
Yeah, I actually found a way better job than the one I had before that allows me to work from home full time. So for the next 3 weeks, I'm off. So
you know
now
what game
that I have
you should play that I think you would
game
like?
Pass.
What's that? I don't know if it's on Game Pass, but it's the Immortals Phoenix Rising.
It's a lot like Valhalla, right? It's like Zelda meets Valhalla.
It's like Zelda meets Assassin's Creed. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And they just released a DLC for it. So the newest DLC sort of like changes the perspective. So now it's over like a top view. So it sort of like turns into like a Diablo style game, but with the same elements. Cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I may check it out. I don't know.
I seen it pretty cheap recently. What I did get because of George, I have PSVR and I don't really use it that often because it's so cumbersome and it's not, I have glasses. I have bifocals, so it's not the best for me. So I picked up Oculus Quest 2. Haven't really played any games on it, but what I have been doing is using this app called Supernatural. I always have to think of the TV show to remember the name of the app. It's a paid subscription app, workout app. Think about Beat Saber, how that sort of works. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful game. Like every level, you're like in a different environment, and they're so well done. There's a level where you're actually on Mars, and they actually use actual imagery from the Mars rover. So cool. But the music in the game, the workout part of it, you have to actually move and move your arms. It was like a black and a white. Think of like a balloon that you're having to pop in a way. But you're also having to move your body to get through like these triangle things. So you have to, a lot of crouching, a lot of moving, a lot of this kind of stuff.
You lost me.
The first time I played it, I did swing and I hit my hand on that, that glass display we have in our living room.
At least it wasn't your wife.
That's true. She does not need to be around me when I'm playing this. But the cool thing about it, there is a monthly fee. But the music is all licensed. It's all from Spotify. So the first couple of workouts I did, I was like, I'm going to do the metal shit. So it was like Machine Head and like Megadeth and there was a Deftone song, which I wasn't excited about. There was Iron Maiden in there. And then I did like a glam, like had like Poison and Rat and stuff in there today. So, but the heavy metal ones will kick your ass, man.
I can't imagine working out to like change into a fly. Like that would be really tough.
Into what?
The Deftones song.
Oh.
Change.
I don't know that song, so
I'm sure you do. It's their only like popular song.
I think it was Shove It in the Summer song, whatever it's called. You know what I'm talking
That's
about?
That's the one I know. Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun and you really sweat your ass off playing this like 25, 30 minute like sessions. I had to buy through Amazon like a sweatproof like silicone adapter to put over the face mask part, because I would stop playing and it would just be like sweat just everywhere. I'm like, all right, so it's gross. It's pretty good.
Jesus,
I haven't played any other games on it. There's a what's up?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
I'm just picking on you.
No, what'd you say?
That's disgusting.
Oh, it is. Actually, no, it really is. I'm like, hey, Kim, you want to play it right after me? She's like, no. But there's a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge video game on there, or experience game. What do you want to call it? But I haven't bought any games yet, because I don't really know what I want. But yeah, man, this workout experience has been doing it for me. It's cool.
Cool.
And that's one of the reasons I got it. They talked about it on a podcast that I listened to, and that's what they're using it for. I'm like, man, that sounds really cool. Yeah. If you guys out there have any recommendations for like a Quest game, let me know. So you want to move on to our game? Speaking of games?
Sure.
Let's do it, man.
Well, Carrie put me on the spot and told me I had to come up with a game to play, so I'm going with the tried and true Two Truths and a Lie. No,
we're not doing Truth or Dare.
Well, we can do Truth and Dare if you want.
No, it's okay.
Now, it's called Two Truths and a Lie. It's a very common game. You've probably heard it on a lot of other podcasts before. Yeah. Basically, we'll take a theme and then tell three stories related to our lives about that theme, two of which are true and one of which is a lie. And then our fellow co-hosts will try to guess which one is the lie.
So we got to come up with what does a winner get?
Well, it's your show, man. What are you offering?
I'm not offering shit. That's right. You get to wear a badge on your Facebook page. I don't know. You get to wear like a badge of honor that you won something. That doesn't matter.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
It sounds good. I'm down.
How about the winner gets to remove one person of their choice from the Metal Geek Society group?
Oh, I've already won.
Yeah, Dave's already won. He's already beat us to that. who wants to start? You want to show us how it's done, Justin?
Well, we got to figure out what theme we're going to go with.
That's up to you, man.
I'm open to some ideas. What do you have?
You said Halloween earlier. Want to start with that?
We can do Halloween. That's fine.
All right.
So you tell three stories about Halloween.
Stories or just
short like, stories? All right. So I'll go first then. Okay.
Okay.
Like tweets, right?
So. Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be a tweet. I mean, it's just three short.
I want 140 characters. That's it.
Okay. So
not even new Twitter, old Twitter.
One time when I was a kid, my mom insisted that for Halloween, my sisters and I go in matching costumes, and I went as Captain Hook. One of them went as Peter Pan, and the other one went as Tinkerbell. One other time at Halloween, when I was in my teenage years, I decided to go as a mummy. And halfway through the night, somebody stepped on my costume and completely unraveled it. And I was not wearing anything but spandex underneath, and I was horribly, horribly embarrassed.
Spandex.
Another time, I went trick-or-treating with some friends, and I went as a knight with a sword, and it was a real sword. And some children came across us who I was not fond of, and we stole their candy at sword point.
We dressed as a pirate at that.
The way this works is that each of you gets to ask me one question about any of those three stories, and I have to answer it.
Okay.
And then you make your guess on which one is true or not.
All right, so I have a question. How often were you wearing spandex as a kid?
Really only a Halloween, or the one time that I was Christopher Columbus in a play.
That's way, way too specific of an answer. Oh, my God. Okay.
Dave, you have a question?
Not one that I feel like is going to get me anywhere. Not yet.
Do you have an answer? You want to make a guess?
So we had.
I know you have two sisters. That's correct, right?
I do have two sisters, but you already asked your question.
I was asking for Dave.
That's fine. So I'm going to go with the family dress up stories, the made up one.
Okay. Carrie.
Oh, I'm going to go with somebody stepping on your costume and you ended up in spandex, because you sounded way too specific with an answer.
Wow. So you guys really think I just robbed kids at sword point?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Carrie's right. I never wore spandex in my life. So that's 1 point for Carrie.
All right. Dave, you want to go next?
Fuck, I don't know.
sounds like a yes to me.
Carrie, save me.
Okay. I'll go next if you want.
Please.
Sure.
All right. So one time as a kid, my mom dressed me up as a pirate. I was really young and my makeup was all like my beard and everything was like some kind of makeup that she used. I don't know what it was. She loved it. There's a picture of me in front of my tree in front of my old house. One year, after we had gone trick or treating, got a big basket full of candy. You know, they always warn you not to just start eating shit. We did find a razor in one of our chocolate bars. And the third time, me and a bunch of my friends, we were too old to go trick-or-treating, but we did it anyways. We all dressed up, and we were all in drag, all dressed up as the opposite sex.
Okay, so you've got makeup beard.
Yep.
You got makeup beard.
Makeup beard.
You got razor blade in your chocolate, and you got cross-dressing.
Okay. I'm going with razor blade.
Well, we got to ask questions, Dave. You get one question each.
I'm going with razor blade.
You're going with razor blade?
Yep, you have my question. Go ahead.
Dave's question is, what candy was the razor blade in?
A Snickers bar.
Okay. My question is...
It was a bloody nougat.
How old were you when your mom made you dress up with the beard?
I was probably 7 or 8.
Okay.
Hence why I still have a beard now.
I'm going to go with the cross-dressing one. It seems like something you would do, but at the same time, if Dave and I pick the same one and then we're both wrong, you get the point. So hedging my bets.
So the cross-dressing one was sort of a lie, but only one of our friends dressed up in drag. It was the pirate thing. That was my favorite Halloween ever. Arr.
Wait, the pirate thing was true?
Yes.
The razor blade thing was true?
No.
Okay, do you know how to play this game? Yes.
I said one of us was dressed up in drag, not all of us, though.
No, you said all of you were dressed up in drag.
I know. I changed it.
So two of your things were lies?
Yes. I lied.
Oh.
That's not how the game works. It's supposed to be two truths and a lie.
He's back in the deck.
Carrie loses 2 points. All right, fine. So we're at 0, Dave, and he's a -1.
All right. So I one time won passes to go to the big it's like a haunted house park up near Dallas. They actually turned the Scarborough Fair Ren Fair grounds into basically a Halloween park. And I won tickets 1 year and we went and did that, and it was a lot of fun. Then there was the time that I was involved in the church youth group, and we did one of those like Hell House things where it's like a haunted house, but churchy, and it's all about scaring people. Basically scaring people straight, scaring people into conversion, whatever, stuff like that.
That's scary.
It is truly terrifying. Then I gotta think of another story. I had one a second ago and now I forgot what it was going to be. Sh- Shit, I had it just a second ago. I can't think of three things at a time right now. There was the time that I won the Halloween costume contest at work, and I went afterwards. I took my prize money and I picked up a friend of mine, and we went to the mall in Denton, and we trick-or-treated at the mall as grown-ups, and we made a little girl cry completely on accident.
Okay. Carrie, question?
Where were you working at when you had this, when everybody dressed up at work?
The GTI. It was a call center in Denton that I worked most of my time in college at.
That actually probably works.
What was your job in the Hell House?
My job, I was one of the corpses, actually. One of the car wreck victims. I died in the car wreck without ever repenting and giving my life to the Lord.
Okay. What's your guess, Carrie?
I think the lie is... The part about scaring a little girl at the mall is the part that I don't believe. I don't know. It is Dave. What shirt we got to figure? What shirt were you wearing? Because the thing about the Hell House done by the church is probably very true. I'm going to say the mall, scaring a little girl at the mall.
Okay. I'm going to say winning the free passes.
You're both wrong. It was the Hell House. I was never part of the... I had attended them, but I never took part in one.
All right.
Very good.
In my, my costume in and of itself made a little girl cry at the mall.
What were you dressed as?
I probably have pictures of it somewhere I can send to you at some point, but I was basically some like undead warlock... barbarian thing. I had big like skull shoulder pads with spikes, and I was covered in fake blood, and I had a cloak, and I had runes drawn all over me, and I had a sword and a knife. And, like,
okay, I can believe that.
And cool. This little girl just ran around the corner and just saw me and panicked. She froze. And my friend who was with me, he was dressed up in one of those like skeleton hoodies.
Yeah.
And
Karate Kid.
But what he was telling people was that he was a teddy bear, because he had a Beanie Baby teddy bear that was dressed up like that. And so he had it with him. And so he tried to help by running up to the little girl and going, "Hey, I'm a teddy bear. I'm a teddy bear.
Don't be scared of me.
Don't be scared." It didn't work at all.
Did the mom yell at you guys or anything?
No, they actually seemed pretty cool. Like, the folk seemed okay. Like, they understood that we weren't doing anything malicious, and it was in that he was actually genuinely trying to help the situation, but was significantly worse.
All right.
You want to play another round, or you want to call it there?
Let's play another round.
Okay, what do you guys want to do for a theme?
Since Dave won, let him pick the theme. Make it easy for you.
Okay. Let's do like a three best concerts thing.
I was actually thinking that myself.
Yeah, no, fuck you. I did it
first. Damn it. Okay. All right. Who's going to go first? The three concerts that we've seen that were our favorites.
You can go first if you want.
All right. I can probably go with the very first concert I ever saw. It was at Astroworld. It was Weird Al opening up for the Monkees. It was a weird show. Very cool though.
Sounds custom built for you.
It seems custom built, doesn't it? That would have been like, I don't know, 87 or something like that, maybe around that time, maybe, yeah, 86, 87. I was like 12 or 13, you know. who doesn't like going to ride rides all day and seeing a concert, right? Let's say it was at a metal fest. One of my favorite progressive metal bands, Anathema, or if you want to say Anathema, you don't. Do you? How do you say it?
Anathema.
That's... Yeah, I've always said Anathema. People say Anathema because they put a dot in the name now. But they did a performance only for the press in this little room of acoustic performance. It was just the guitar player and the singer, and they did stuff like the Beatles and all that kind of stuff. And it was right after the horror metal band Macabre did an acoustic show in that same room, and he was running sound for him. Yeah. And let's say I saw a brat band open up for a metal band with a funk band opening up. So I saw, let's say it was Primus opening up for Public Enemy, and then Anthrax played.
I'm going to go with the second one.
Actually, you know, no questions?
Nope.
Give me a quick summary again.
All right. So the Monkees and Weird Al at Astroworld, Anathema doing an acoustic only show for the press, and Anthrax playing with Public Enemy.
I'm going to guess Anthrax and Public Enemy.
No questions at all.
Nope. No.
Actually, you guys are going to hate me, but they're all three true.
See?
You're bad at this game, Kerry. You lose two more points.
I don't care. I just wanted to have fun. My very first concert was the Monkees and with Weird Al at the Milwaukee Metal Fest in like 99 or 2000. We were in the press room for that. And then, yeah, Primus, Anthrax, and Public Enemy.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk so much about the actual concerts I attended, but I'm going to talk about meeting the performers from these concerts. So I went to BuzzFest one year, and I left early because the headliner was Godsmack, and I was just kind of like, meh, whatever. And I was walking back to my car, and I got completely lost in the woodlands, and I stumbled across the tour buses for the various bands that were playing. And I ran into Amy Lee from Evanescence standing outside smoking a cigarette. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe it's you. And we talked for a while, told her I enjoyed her music, whatever. She gave me a hug, and I walked back to my car. There's this time at the Toyota Center when I went to see A Perfect Circle. And my friend and I were running late. We were there actually when the opening band was going on. And we went to the bathroom and ran into Maynard. And we talked to him for a couple of seconds, and he was like, I got to get in there. Sorry, guys. But it was really cool to meet Maynard. And then one time I went to see Static X in Austin at La Raza. And we got there about an hour and a half before the doors opened, and the entire band was outside racing remote-controlled cars. And we got to hang out outside with them and play with remote-controlled cars for about an hour before they finally went inside to prepare.
Okay. I don't know if I need to ask a question. I think I know mine.
What's your guess?
It was running into Maynard in the bathroom, because he wouldn't be in the public bathrooms.
I'm going with the Maynard one too.
The other two seem very plausible.
Yeah, you're both right. I never met Maynard, but I did meet Amy Lee, and I did meet Static X.
All right. I'm going to ride on the back of that one. I'm going to ride it pretty close. I once asked Amy Lee on a date, and she turned me down.
Wow.
at a show. She was dating the guitarist at the time. Ran into basically accidentally met Morbid Angel and Suffocation at a show because we hung around long enough to do so. Similarly, another story, met Iced Earth and some of the Evergrey guys after a show. And it was at that show that John Schaefer and Matt Barlow signed all my stuff.
Is that the day that John Schaefer broke into your house?
Stormed yeah.
into your house?
Mm-hmm. With bear mace.
Yeah. Meeting those bands is very plausible because those are bands that enjoy hanging out with their fans. And I don't remember if Iced Earth and Evergrey ever toured together, but I think they did. And you said Morbid Angel and Suffocation?
Yeah.
Okay. That I can definitely see. So, okay, going back to this Amy Lee thing, where were you at?
When I was in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Big show. Oh, goddamn, I can't ask another question, can I?
How did you ask her out?
Basically, I just walked up to her and introduced myself and asked if she would like to like go get coffee or something after the show or sometime later that week.
Okay. I think I have my answer.
Okay.
It's Amy Lee, because why would you ask her out later in the week when she's on tour?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Amy Lee too.
Cool. That actually happened because they weren't anything yet. They were still a local band in Arkansas, and I saw them several times and play in Little Rock.
I was going to ask that. I'm like, how big were they at the time?
They were not signed yet. Nobody even knew who they fucking were. So yeah, that one actually happened. The one that was made up is actually kind of a trick because the story happened, but Matt Barlow wasn't there.
Hmm.
I did meet Iced Earth and Evergrey.
That I can believe.
But Matt Barlow was not in the band at the time. Ripper was singing for him at the time.
That's right. They were on tour together.
Yep. And it was only like a couple of weeks prior that Morbid Angel Suffocation show happened, which is why I had so much stuff with me for John Schaefer to sign when I got there, because I didn't have anything for Morbid Angel or Suffocation to sign. Oh, yeah.
But we
hung out long enough, and Trey never actually went backstage. He just like hung out on the stage and then finally hopped off the stage and started hanging out with people. And we were there.
and then some of the
Suffocation guys came out and hung out with us too. That was pretty cool.
It sounds very plausible. I have a buddy of mine. He always goes to a show trying to get autographs. He always has a Ziploc full of the CD inserts to get signed. Like every single one from a band. It's like, God damn, dude. I know it's cool to meet the band and everything, but it's a little overkill, you know? It's like people at conventions, they have like boxes of shit to get signed by comic book artists. I'm like, pick like five things that you really want, you know what I mean? Don't go overboard. All right.
I was kind of that guy with John Schaefer that night, though.
I bet. So. What'd you do with all that stuff, though?
I still have it.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Sell it on eBay. There's enough rabid Trumpers, somebody will buy it.
I'm not going to sell it. It's mine, and it was part of a cool story. I don't get that stuff for monetary value. No, I don't give a shit. And to me, that was still a cool story, even if he turned out to be a bag of dicks. He was.
I have a Something Wicked poster that's signed by Schaefer, and it's also signed by Greg Capullo now too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's play one more round. This is fun, and I promise I won't cheat this time.
Okay. I'll throw out the theme then.
That was a lie. I'm joking.
Let's three fights you've been in.
Jesus.
Physical altercations.
You get fights. You know, it can be, you know, like the guys flipping each other off from across the room, like a crazy flip off fight or a water balloon fight or, you know, whatever kind of altercation you want to talk about. Three fights you've been in.
I don't know if I want to answer this because some of the fights I've been in are very, what's the word I'm looking for? anti-Semitic. So
you don't have to relive your trauma for our benefit if you don't want to.
I'll do it if you want me to. I'll relive the trauma. Fine.
It's up to you.
All right. Who's going to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. So first one was online. I was back in the day when I was doing the fanzine, got into a fight with this guy that was doing ads for one of the record labels. He actually worked for the record labels, and we just got into this huge altercation online about money and stuff. Like, they owed me for about 2 ads and they never paid me. So when I tried to invoice them, it came to this whole shit about them not believing that we printed as many as we did, and all this kind of stuff happened. Another time, this was sort of out of college. I was working in a pizza place. Really cool. The manager was really cool. The owner was not very cool. Found out that I was Jewish and started yelling at me because of that, and tried to get me to clean the floor with the freaking toothbrush. So I quit. And then in high school, this guy, for some reason, did not like me and just came and punched me in the back of the head. And that was it. I turned around. That was it. I sucked. I was not a good fighter. I was a lover, not a fighter.
What was your relationship with the guy who hit you? Did you know him?
I knew him. He just didn't like me. He was a year ahead of me. Supposedly, I dated a girl that he liked or something like that. Whatever. One of those bullshit reasons.
Okay. You got a question, Dave?
Did anything happen to the guy who clocked you by surprise?
Nope, because nobody reported him. Nobody, no teachers were around. Nobody saw it. None of the kids were going to rat on him. He was like it wasn't super like a super bully, but he was well known and people didn't mess with him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess that the guy hitting you is a lie, because you're a pretty likable guy and it's hard to imagine some dude sucker punching you like that and then nothing happening.
Okay.
I'll run with that.
You both are right. That is correct. Too bad it's not the anti-Semitic one, but
yeah, that one had some verisimilitude to it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. All right. I got into almost a physical alter, more than it was. It didn't come to blows, we'll put it that way, with a guy who drunkenly tried to come into my shop at TRF after hours. It was dark in the shop. I had shut the shop down and was sitting in the dark trying to find a moment of zen. And this drunk dude just straight up walked into my shop like he fucking owned the place and was very surprised to find out that I was still in it. When I was in martial arts, when I did Taekwondo when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old, somewhere in there, I did one of those stupid, I think I'm a super badass because I'm taking martial arts, and got in a fight for somebody else's honor at school with one of the antagonists of our crew, and kind of got my ass handed to me as a result. Oh, then there was the guy that I had to punch because he kept grabbing Val's tits at a concert that we were at.
How? Well, no, that's not going to be my question.
How many years of martial arts had you taken at the point you tried to defend somebody else?
Oh, shit. Maybe a year. I was in it for a little while.
Was it Miyagi-Do?
I wished.
I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go with the martial arts one, because I think you probably won that fight.
I could definitely see if some guy was touching your wife inappropriately in public, you would turn around and do something about it. So that's true. Hopefully. that you did. Hopefully it's not true, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'm wrong and some guy wasn't molesting your wife, but if somebody did, I have no doubt that you would turn around and beat the shit out of
them. Exactly. So you said you actually got your ass handed to you.
In the second one, he said that he defended somebody else and got beat.
I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, that one was made up.
Okay.
That was definitely Karate Kid.
So Dave and I both have 2 points and Carrie has negative 2 points.
Sweet. I won.
No, I've still got to go.
Oh, damn it.
Okay. So all of these happened when I was much younger. The reason I actually started taking martial arts is because I got into a fight and some kid punched my nose and broke it. And when I went home, my dad was like, you got to toughen up. You got to be able to defend yourself. I'm putting you in martial arts. So that was the first one. The second one is one time I got in this fight with this kid at school, and it was this ongoing thing where we would fight each other in the playground all the time. He'd push me into lockers. I'd kick him in the back of the head whenever I could. And one day he brought a knife to school and he stabbed me, and I pulled it out and stabbed him right back, kicked him into the wall, and then walked out of the bathroom. And then this different kid who was bullying me, his older brother, jumped me. I left school and I walked to this gas station that was near the school to get a drink after school. And I was walking back waiting for my mom to come pick me up because, I missed the bus or whatever. And I was walking through the playground and this older kid who was the brother of this bully jumped me. He got me in a headlock and he was just uppercutting me over and over again. And I looked down and I saw this crushed Sprite can on the ground, and I picked it up and jammed it into his calf muscle about an inch deep and then ripped straight up. And I cut his leg open about 7 inches, and then he collapsed into a pile on the ground. And then I kicked him in the face about 15 times and then kept on my merry way. So those are my 3 stories.
You know what the moral of all your stories is don't fuck with Justin.
Questions.
Oh, I have a lot of questions on this now. Jesus. So the Sprite can, was it a can or bottle you said?
It was a crushed Sprite can with like jagged edges.
So if it was crushed, it should have, how were the jagged edges?
Like the metal had splintered outwards into like a square edge shape.
Okay.
So it was pointy.
This one's really hard, dude. I'm going to go with the Sprite thing, because if the guy stabbed you first, your reaction would be to reciprocate.
So, well, the Sprite thing and the stabbing were two different incidences.
No. That's what I'm saying. So I'm going with the Sprite thing because...
I got you. Okay, so you're saying story number 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, question?
What kind of martial arts did your dad sign you up for?
Taekwondo. I got up to second degree black belt.
Wow.
I know that's true because you still have a punching bag and you've told me this.
I'm going to go with the Sprite can story.
So you're both choosing the Sprite can story.
I hope we're wrong.
You're both wrong. Story number 1 was fake. I have never had my nose broken.
That's why I was asking questions about that first one. Cause I was like, I bet it's that first bullshit.
Yeah, no, I signed up for Taekwondo because I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle, just like most kids my age did. It had nothing to do with my dad. Ninja Turtle
and Ralph Macchio. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I was watching Three Ninjas, and I was like, I want to do that shit. Yeah, some kid stabbed me, some little asshole, and I pulled the knife right back out and stabbed him right back and then kicked him into the wall. Totally deserved it. And then, that fucking older kid got me in a headlock and was beating the crap out of me. And if I hadn't seen that Sprite can, he'd probably still be punching me. But, him nor his brother ever fucked with me ever again after that.
When I was like in second or third grade, it might've been third grade. This bully kid, you know, those old sharpeners they used to have on the wall, sharpened a fucking number 2 pencil.
Yeah.
And walked right over to me and stabbed me in the hand. I still have pencil lead in my hand. You can see it right there.
Yeah.
It went and then broke it off. Yep.
What an asshole.
Yep.
Did you do anything?
No, I was like a little puny little kid. What was I going to do?
I had a few incidences on the playground where I stepped in to defend other kids' honor too, Dave. So that's why I had a vote of confidence for you.
I've never been.
I actually did a lot of breaking fights up.
I did too.
Was actually a lot of what I did with the skills that I learned, which was basically because I took to heart that whole like you learn how to do this so that you don't have to
thing.
So
it was for self-defense and the defense of others. That was the whole point in learning it.
Right.
I still remember this one time on our playground, we had these like giant cement cylinders that you could like crawl through and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And
probably 6th or 7th grade.
Had those, I think they were, like the big, concrete pipes.
There was this older kid. He must've been like 6th grader, 7th grader. And he was picking on this girl that was half his size. And he had grabbed her arms and like twisted him around like this. And he was just holding her and shaking her. And she was screaming for help. And I ran over there and I karate chopped his arms apart and then grabbed his arms and flipped him like this. And because of the momentum, he did this like weird spiral thing through the air and then slammed his back into one of those cement things. And he just laid there like moaning for 10 minutes. It was amazing. I don't think I've ever thrown anybody like that since.
Wow. Very cool.
I got bullied a lot as a kid.
I think the moral of the story is still don't fuck with Justin.
Yeah, that's I'm not a violent person. I'm actually like, I choose not to be involved in anything like that. But
Justin's not a violent person. He's just bigger than you.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Just don't fuck with me or the people I love, and it'll be fine. So,
did I win?
No, you lost horribly.
Oh, damn it. I think we should start over then.
You didn't seem to understand the rules for the first two rounds.
Apparently not. Or I chose not to believe the rules. All right. Well, that was fun. Who did win?
Dave and I tied.
Oh.
So we both get to kick out somebody.
Dave's already done his part.
I get a new one now.
All right. So we're talking, of course, of the Metal Geek Society. So be nice in there. It's
a cool place. Nice.
It's a cool place to hang out. We talk about music and movies and video games and all kinds of cool stuff.
99.9% of you are great people.
Yeah, just like in the real world. Well, no, that's not true.
Don't make me have to come in there and defend somebody's honor again.
David, I'll team up this time. You won't know what hit you.
So I think it's time to start wrapping up the show. And in honor of George not being here, I think we need to do What's Tickling Our Geek.
Okay.
So, if you guys don't have anything, I can go first real quick.
Sure.
Proceed.
So, Anthrax, one of my favorite bands of all time, is celebrating their 40th anniversary right now. There's a really cool, huge, like that Megadeth comic book, thing they put out last year. They're doing one for Among the Living. Each story is written by a different, writer and artist. Really famous people too, but that's not what Tickling My Geek was. Tickling My Geek right now is in honor of the celebration of their 40th anniversary. If they've been putting out these mini documentaries on their YouTube channel, they've gone from the very beginning, they have other people involved. So they've had everybody from like Dan Liker and Dan Spitz, and they even had the original vocalist involved in the first couple of episodes. People like Rob Zombie and Brendan Small, all these different people that are fans of the band. They talk, it's cool because they talk about the making of an album, what they were doing, sort of touring. And then the next episode will sort of be people talking about what the band means to them and that time period and all that. And I think episode 13 or 14, it came out tonight, and it's about Persistence of Time, which is one of my favorite albums from them of all time. Can't wait to watch that. That's What's Tickling My Geek. It's a really good documentary series. I definitely recommend you watch it.
Cool.
Justin?
You got something picked out?
Well, this came across my feed the other day. Revocation is doing a campaign on Bandcamp to release a vinyl version of Deathless, which is my favorite album of theirs by a large margin.
Yeah.
It's, and if you've never heard it, it's like a masterpiece of an album. It's so good. So anyways, I pledged for that. I'm super excited to get my hands on that. I think there's still 6 or 7 days left in the campaign, but I'm sure you can find it if you just go to revocationband.bandcamp.com. So very excited for that. Otherwise, I'm excited for the new job. I'm excited for the stock market. I'm excited for this new energy drink I found that I absolutely love, Rain Inferno. It's really fucking good.
Sounds like a badass band name, too.
Kind of. It's better than Rain of Fire, that's for sure. yeah, if you're looking for a new energy drink to try, I'm not really sure what the flavor is. It's kind of...
It's energy flavor.
It's energy flavor. Well, it's 10 calories, 3 grams of carbs.
Okay.
So it's very low sugar. It's got vitamin B12, B6, niacin, potassium.
Has some jet fuel in it.
It seems to work in credit. It has 300 milligrams of caffeine in it, which is great. Whenever I drink it, I feel pretty much alive, which is a hard thing for me. So I enjoy it. Uh-huh. I really like
it. Are they sponsoring us now?
They can be.
That was a great plug.
It was.
They could send me a whole crate of those. I would drink them every show.
I would too. Reach out to them. We'll do it. Let's go. Brutal Dave, what's brutalizing you?
I guess probably just what's tickling me is that I just finished a great season at Sherwood Forest Fair. And I'm kind of on vacation now.
Nice.
So, I needed some fucking time off because that shit was exhausting. Having a really successful season is great, but when you're not planning on how good of a season you're going to have, it becomes stressful because I had to do a lot of catching up all season long.
Gotcha. We're
playing catch up every week. So we had a great time, made a lot of money, sold art, and now I'm tired. And so I'm taking kind of a staycation week. And then this weekend, my wife and I are going out for a belated anniversary weekend.
Oh, cool.
So
what are you going to do?
We're just getting a hotel downtown, and nice. I think we're going to go see some exhibits, and then the rest of it is none of your business.
I don't want to.
Dave's going to pretend he's a random concert goer.
Wow. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to episode number 201 of the Metal Geeks podcast. Of course, you can find us all over the internet at metalgeeks.net. We are also at esonetwork.com, where you can check out all the cool shows that make up that network. Social media at Metal Geeks on all the platforms. Like we talked about earlier, check out the Metal Geek Society Facebook group. It's been a lot of fun. You won't get kicked out unless you're doing something really stupid. But yeah, tell your friend about it.
Or you piss me or Dave off. We've each got one veto. So
we each get one.
No, but yeah, let your friends know about it. It's a cool place to hang out. And we're just trying to build the community, doing cool stuff like that. I think that's it. Forget anything? Oh, yeah, we're on all kinds of. Download us. We can talk about that. Spotify, Apple Music, all those good places. Any place where you can download a podcast, check us out there. Subscribe, like, follow, whatever their terminology they're using is now.
Yeah, and if you enjoyed Two Truths and a Lie and you want to see more of that, send us suggestions.
Yeah.
And if you want some time to prepare.
Yeah, if you want me to do it correctly, I might do it next time.
It'll be fun to play with George.
Yeah, it will. Because everything that George usually says is a lie.
I don't know about that, but...
It feels like it.
He doesn't always...
I know he's not here to defend himself, so it's okay.
If he has time to prepare, I think it'll be really good. If he tries to do it under pressure, it could also be really funny, but won't be as good.
Right. All right, guys. What about Brutal Dave? Where can people find you?
At Red Viking Dave on the social medias. This summer I will be in a featured spot, sort of, at Comic Palooza.
I might be there.
Cool.
I might be there too.
So I'll be there selling artwork with my wife, and my oldest daughter is actually going to be making her convention debut. That's selling awesome. Artwork as well. And then we'll be going to Classic Game Fest in Austin the following week.
Well, that's fun.
And other than that, just kind of whatever cool art shows and shit like that we can find. I'm kind of thinking about starting to hit up some of those heavy metal swap meets and punk rock garage sales and that those kind of events around town. Kind of
I think you do really well there, man.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I'm going to try those out.
That'd be fun. And Justin?
Well, if you want to follow me, you can find me as @comicaljc on all the social medias. If you'd like to check out the podcast that I do with George and our friend Andy, it's available at mindfudgecomedy.com, or just go to any podcatcher and search for Mindfudge Comedy. A new episode should be dropping next week. That's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, thank you, gents, for hanging out with me tonight. As always, we have one last thing we always have to say.
Please keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
Oh, balls.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Geek here with a shout-out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
The kid and I have flown from one side of the galaxy to the other. We've been listening to a lot of strange podcasts, but the Monster Sci-Fi Show stands above the rest. Isn't that right, Grogu? I still hate that name.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.